The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 2nd, 2024. Yes, it is December. We're down to the 12th month of the year, the final month of the year. And you can hear it in my voice, feeling under the weather a little bit. And so bear with me as I try to power through on-air responsibilities, power through a show. Got Auburn High basketball tonight, and man, it hit me this weekend. I think it's going around. I know a bunch of people that are just not feeling great. It's that time of year, but hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. We were with you on Friday, but if you didn't get a chance to hear, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving as well. College football went insane this weekend. Again, it went crazy, as it has every single weekend. I don't know why we underestimate what's going to happen, because it's been crazy every single time. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to talk about the final game of the year for Auburn football as they lose to Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Again, to Alabama in the Iron Bowl. So lots to get to on the show today. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Glad you're with us. Happy Monday. Beautiful day outside here in the Auburn Opelika area. And we're going to get to a lot today, but I welcome in my Monday-Friday partner in the studio. He's wild. He's crazy. He may be a lot of that today. He's Uncle T-Bone. My man, how are you? How was your weekend other than the obvious?
It was good. Had a great, great Thanksgiving, and then Friday was a ton of fun. Talking sports, breaking it down. Didn't get a chance to really talk to you about much about Georgia Tech, Georgia, which was amazing. That was Friday night. We had a cool show, final show of the year on Wings 94.3. Jack Hutton and I, game day on Wings, and it was a ton of fun.
You guys did a great job all year on that, by the way.
Oh, appreciate that. Really, we really have a good time doing that show. Going to do a little basketball post game this year. Looking forward to that. Just be on the list, look out and listen for that. And then, of course, Saturday was just full-blown football, college football. Yesterday I was in recovery mode. I mean, it was an awesome weekend of college football. It was a tremendous disappointing weekend for college football. That's five now in a row. Gosh,
it's crazy.
Against Alabama. If it weren't for four turnovers, it would have been a rout. And I'm just going to put it to you like that. We got a lot to talk about before we all go in on that, so I'm going to pace myself on it. But just a bad ending to a bad season, another one. It's been
– would you say it's disappointing?
Yeah,
That's a word Hugh Freeze likes to use. Yeah. It was disappointing. Look – I'm tired.
We're sick of it.
It's just so frustrating to hear the same thing after every single loss. Somebody go back and listen. And I didn't get a chance to do this. Somebody go back and listen to every losing post-game press conference this year. And is the word disappointing used in the first five words? I would be willing to bet that it is. He says it's disappointing. And he said that Saturday, Hugh Freeze did. He said it's another disappointing loss in a disappointing season. And yet, it's the end of year two. It's the end of year two where Auburn on the field, it felt like had chances to get better. But man, you look up at the end of the year and it's stagnant. Nothing changed. You got worse. You went backwards in win-loss record. You're not even getting invited to a bowl game. No, you didn't win enough games to go, but even some 5-7 teams go, and you're not even going to do that. I don't understand how you go backwards with a better roster, an easier schedule, and you just straight up go backwards. And we're going to break it all down today. This game, other games, we want to hear from you. We'll open up the phone lines coming up in just a little bit. Best way to get into us right now is the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. I watched this game on Saturday. We talked about it Friday. You guys talked about it Saturday. And going into this game, every Auburn fan felt that we had a chance to win this game. We all felt that there was a shot. We had a chance. If we played the way we did a week ago, if Bama played the way they did a week ago, that Auburn would have a chance to win this thing. And given how the defense played again, Auburn had chances to win. Auburn loses 28-14 in the Iron Bowl, their fifth straight loss to the Crimson Tide. Kalen DeBoer gets his first win in his first Iron Bowl. Hugh Freeze falls to 0-2 against Alabama during his short tenure here at Auburn. Peyton Thorne was 24 of 41 for 301 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Jarquez Hunter carried the ball 13 times, 56 yards, average 4 yards carry. Jalen Milroe, just to give you a couple more stats before we break it down a little bit more. Jalen Milroe was 18 of 24, 256, and a pick through the air. But he burned us in the place we thought he could burn us. 17 carries, 104 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
First question I'm going to ask of the day is, why did only 2 Auburn players rush the ball against Alabama? Look at these team stats. Rushing, number 27, Jarquez Hunter, 13 carries for 56 yards. Peyton Thorne, 10 carries for 42 yards. No one else touched the ball on the ground. No one. I mean, that's basic high school football play calling at best. Where's Malcolm Simmons out on the edge? You know, where is attacking with any kind of counter?
Damari Alston, Jeremiah Cobb.
Where are those two other backs? I mean, I don't understand. Jacob, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out here. Listen, I'm going to just get this out of the way first. I don't have anything personal against Hugh Freeze or this coaching staff, any of these players, anybody at the university, any fans of Auburn. I don't have anything personal against Auburn, but I have got to call it like it is. That team was woefully prepared for this game. I got to ask what that practice schedule and preparation was for the Iron Bowl last week during the holiday week, because I didn't see any wrinkles.
There was one. There was one.
Which was, whoever made that play call should never make another play call at Auburn. They're fired.
That was horrific.
That was the worst possible time to call up and dial up one of the worst, goofiest plays. That's the kind of stuff that Gus Malzahn used to get roasted over.
He's in the news right now, too.
But on the other side of the sidelines, I saw a coach who, and Kalen DeBoer, who had some wrinkles, where he lined up multiple tight ends and made it seem like they were just going to try and shove Jalen Milroe down our throat all day. Oh, no. He got them out in space, and for a quarterback that had lost his confidence the week before against Oklahoma and made some terrible decisions, gave him some easy outs, some easy throws to tight ends I've never even heard of.
Literally.
Never even heard their names at Alabama.
Dudes that caught their first passes of the year.
And unleashed that in the most opportune moment for Alabama. And meanwhile, we're just kind of trying to dilly-dally and do the same things. And for some God-known reason, having Peyton Thorne throw 41 passes in this game. Are you joking? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, the offensive game plan was pathetic. This offense only does well statistically in between the 20s. It's a red zone disaster. And they're going to have to go out, in my opinion, and do a nationwide search for a legitimate, full-blown killer offensive coordinator, an up-and-comer, and have that person come in and take over the offense, mesh a few of the concepts that this coaching staff wants to mesh with the personnel you have to run that person's offense and let it go, because there's way too many cooks in the kitchen. And when you're calling up plays like the whatever that was with the Jarquez Hunter pass, you're desperate and you don't know what you're doing offensively.
Too many cooks in the kitchen. I like that term because I think that's the real problem here. Who's calling plays?
You tell me.
Who's calling plays? I think there are
three.
Who's
going to take responsibility, first of all, for calling that Jarquez Hunter pass? It was an abomination of a play call.
No way. Nobody's going to take responsibility for that. I'll tell you who won't take responsibility for it, and that's the head football coach, who continues, and I hate to be the guy, and I've tried not to be this guy in my young radio career, to praise people when they're winning and bury them when they're losing, right? I try not to be that guy, but it's really hard at the end of this second disappointing season in a row to listen to head coach Hugh Freeze, who really doesn't take a whole lot of responsibility for this team, who doesn't really take a whole lot of responsibility for guys not playing the way they're supposed to play incorrect routes or bad decisions or turnovers or bad play calling or whatever the case may be. It's very rare that Hugh Freeze has said, I was wrong. I have to do this better. He did a couple of times, and I thought he was going to grow from it, right? When he admitted that he wants to throw the ball. He said, it's in my gut. It's in my blood. It takes everything in me to not throw the ball. He said that after the Kentucky game. And we said, good. Here we go, right? Everything is getting better. Maybe this was the coming to Jesus moment that he needed in terms of offensive identity for Auburn football in 2024 and how it's always been here in Auburn. Always. This has always been a running offense. Since Auburn was created, they have run the football. And we thought that after that Kentucky game, when he said those comments, we thought he had changed. We thought he had learned. We knew he was stubborn, but we thought he had gotten over it. And now here we are in the Iron Bowl with a quarterback who just has not been it. He's a group of five. I heard Daryl and Zach talk about this earlier on and over the weekend, listening to them. Said he's a group of five quarterback. He's a group of five quarterback, and he is. Peyton Thorne was great against Alabama A&M, but Vanderbilt made him look bad. He was good against a Samford or a Bowling Green or whatever technical college you can pull out of Georgia. But he's not good against the SEC. But Hugh Freeze refused to believe that. He brought him back for another year. He put all of his chips in on that hand. And he went over 21 and busted. And now he's screwed. Because this season was a disaster. And so much so, even after that had gotten exposed, that plan of Peyton Thorne, we knew was not going to work. There was one solution to this offense, and it was to run the football with 27. You walk into the Iron Bowl on the road in Tuscaloosa, and you make that man throw it 41 times. What's going through your brain that tells you that's a good idea? What is going through your head in all this game planning that you guys do over there, so say? And you said, yeah, I think we're going to just win this game with the arm of Peyton Thorne. Give me a break.
Well, the answer would be, well, they loaded the box up. Well, you know, how about a different type of scheme within your running attack outside of just handing it up the middle?
Yeah.
I mean, where
you ain't gotta run right over center.
What happened to the run calls against Kentucky where there were multiple tight ends and they were just coming at different angles inside and then hitting outside
and pulling
and pulling guards and why when you've got an athletic quarterback do you just make him sit back in the pocket and don't roll him out more and give him more run-throw options like that instead of run RPO? How about just traditionally getting your guy outside the pocket, especially with Alabama defensive line that was trying to do everything they could to get to him and cause disruption?
Yeah.
And bring pressure. Where are the safety valve checkouts? Well, I saw one, and it was a poor throw, and it got Jarquez blowed up.
Oh, my gosh.
Had he just zipped it to him, he's walking into the end zone.
Yeah, just put it on him. Instead, he floats it out there and puts a suicide ball.
I just have to go back now, and it being a holiday week, and I just would love to get the practice schedule, the game planning, film schedules, the sessions, and how much time was actually put into scheming and game planning Alabama. Because I'm just having a hard time believing from what I saw and just from the lack of creativity in the offense and the desperation mode with that Jarquez Hunter call, that this coaching staff on the offensive side was ready to go into this game fully with a game plan to exploit some Alabama weaknesses.
I'll tell you who was prepared.
Kalen DeBoer.
Yes, he was. And he was prepared. And I saw a coach that was fired up. I saw a coach that was emotional. I saw a coach that, could he control his team? No, not really. But
can anybody these days?
I'm telling you, what a wild weekend it was on that aspect. But guess what? Winning cures all. You can do whatever you want when you win. Auburn doesn't know that. Auburn doesn't feel that. Auburn can't do that. And the Iron Bowl this weekend was just another example of a disappointing game and a disappointing season. A lot more to get to on the Iron Bowl here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Phone lines aren't open quite yet. We got more to say before we want to hear from you, but you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. We're talking more Auburn and Alabama when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Uncle T-Bone. We're talking Iron Bowl here on the Monday edition of the show. You can shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. We will open up the phone lines here in just a little bit. Want to get some of our initial thoughts out before we do. I have a feeling it's going to be crazy because the text box is lighting up, and we're going to get to that as we go as well. I want to continue by saying this, and I want to make a statement to Auburn defensively. The entire defensive side of the football this year, every single game, every player, every coach, starting with DJ Durkin, I'm sorry, because you did your job. Again, you did your job. DJ Durkin had his guys ready, had the game plan ready. Yes, Jalen Milroe had some big plays, but he's going to get his. But you force four turnovers on the road, Uncle T-Bone, in the Iron Bowl, you have to win that game. They gave you chance after chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And in every single game, the Georgia game could be the only outlier. Auburn's defense did their job. And yet, at the end of the day, Auburn is a 5-7 football team. That's sad. And DJ Durkin, I hope he gets a long vacation, man. He won't, but I hope he does somehow. He deserves it. Because his side of the football played extremely well this year. Was it perfect? No. Wasn't perfect. But it was good enough. They were the definition of bend, don't break. And they kept Auburn in every game this year, including the Iron Bowl on Saturday. But Auburn's offense is so embarrassing. It's so bad. It's so mediocre. It's so elementary that you couldn't take advantage of what I think could be one of the better defenses we've seen in the last decade here at Auburn. So to DJ Durkin and everybody on that side, I'm sorry. Because your offense failed you. Your head coach failed you. And that is extremely disappointing. That's sad.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the defense did just about all it could do this year, specifically with the offense just being so inept within the red zone. They weren't perfect defensively. They made plenty of mistakes throughout the year, too. The one thing defensively that continues to baffle yours truly is year after year after year, Auburn just not being able to get off the field on third and longers.
That is a thing. That is a problem.
And,
yes.
And whether it's a penalty or just too conservative or just can't get to the quarterback or whatever, It's just it has cost Auburn opportunity to win football games. That being said, the defense has cost Auburn opportunities to win football games way, way, way less than the offense now going back a decade. I mean, it's painful to sit here and watch. And while the game's on, just take a social media break or something and just see person after person after person on Facebook in all caps saying, "Hugh, run the ball."
Why does the entire fan base know it, but the head coach and offensive staff can't figure it out?
And
you had the stadium cheering it at you at home. 87,000 people were saying, "Run the ball." You had a dude on the year. At what point in that Iron Bowl, Jarquez Hunter was averaging 7 yards a carry, and you didn't give him the ball?
It's like we have some success. There's one stop, and then we can't run the ball. They're going to load the box.
Yeah, you run up the middle and hit a wall, so when we just give up and go crazy, and we're like, oh, wow, oh, my God, they stopped it. Well, what are we going to do? Let's throw it down to double coverage and see what happens.
Honestly, I'm going to say this was about as lackluster the offense has looked all year. Was not expecting that, especially after what happened with Texas A&M. Alabama's a good team, and hats off to them. They wanted it. They wanted the game more. I think that there's some Auburn players that wanted it bad, but it didn't seem like to me there was a whole lot of confidence over on the Auburn sideline, especially after that first field goal was missed.
God. Again. That's another problem, too. And, that poor kid. I mean.
But, you know, good for him for getting it back together and knocking back two later.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lack of confidence in Auburn football right now, and it's matriculated down into the fan base, because I can speak from the heart here that I will never turn my back on Auburn. I will never not support Auburn football. I worked hard to get through Auburn University. I had a lot of people work hard to help me do that. I'm an alumni. I am a fan. I am born here. I will probably die here. I stand behind the brand, and I'm not a perfect fan by any means, and I have my problems too. But my confidence in Auburn football is completely shook right now, and I don't care about this massive recruiting class that's coming in. Sure, it's going to help. That's what we're paid to do. You know, and it's not signing day yet. Get everybody, I think maybe the first step in moving on past this dreadful season is making sure you shore that recruiting class up Wednesday and get everybody signed.
If you don't, you're in trouble.
But if you don't, you're in big-time trouble. And what I'm sick of is, this is a monumental weekend in Auburn football. Or this day is so pivotal to the future of Auburn football. You know, it's been like that for all year after the California loss. Like, every game was it. Every recruit is it or else. That's a sign of a program or any organization that is on really thin ice.
Desperation.
And it needs to become normal that we expect to have a big signing day, not that it is so crucial to our complete existence.
Yeah, but also in those situations, whether it's a recruit or a game or a result or what a practice, whatever it is, I'm tired of Auburn coming up short in all those situations. Sure. I'm tired of this game being so crucial, like you said, to the future of the program with all these recruits on campus, and Auburn can't beat it. Auburn can't win the game. Auburn can't deliver when they're supposed to. Yeah, recruiting's great. And if Wednesday goes the way it's supposed to go and the way we're predicting it to go, yeah, it's going to be another good one. But, man, how can you have confidence that it's going to be good in the future when you had a better roster this year than you did last year and you got worse as a team?
I don't think the schedule was any harder this year than last year.
It was easier. The schedule was easier. And you started with 5 straight home games, and you went 2-3.
And you had way more playmakers on the outside. That's evident.
Yes.
You had a quarterback in his second year who actually got to go through spring and do all his film study. Like I was told, all he did was this summer was study film. You had that same stable of backs. You had a better defense. The offensive line was about the same, maybe took a slight step back. You still had the same tight ends back. The only difference is you had an offensive coordinator last year, and he's gone. So what's that tell you? Whoever was calling the plays this year and running that offense had a major disconnect with how it actually functions well.
Even in a year where we didn't think Jarquez Hunter got the football enough, he still had 1,200 yards and averaged 6.5 yards a carry. And we didn't give it to him enough. That's a wild concept to think about, man. We're 30 minutes in to hour number one. We're opening up the phone lines. Come on in, 334-321-1390.
This is The Edge Daily with Kevin Flanagan, presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you.
Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth." Hi, I'm Kevin Flanagan with The Edge Daily. 30 years ago, I had a board member who used to work with me on our fundraising event. We would figure how many people getting involved at what level would bring what kind of result. When we were finished, we would look at the huge number for a moment, and then he would invariably comment with a chuckle on how we were awesome at raising money on paper. Then we would cut the number by 3/4 and make our realistic projection. It's easy to conquer nations and heal and save thousands in the planning room. I still dream big, plan, and project how to get there. But I do not go out and brag about what we will do. Too many things can intercept those plans, and ultimately, the outcome belongs to the Lord. Today, be diligent, allow God to accomplish what he desires, then brag about him. 1 Corinthians 1:31 tells us, "Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Don't miss any of the Edge Daily devotional challenges. Go download the free The Edge Daily app at your device app store today. And take a look at how The Edge can partner with your company at BeTheEdge.com. And a shout out to these Edge partner companies, Domino's, Point Broadband, and the Auburn Network. Take a look at the website for the Iron Sharpening Iron lunches being brought to you by The Edge. Now, go be The Edge.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone. We have opened up the phone lines, and they've come in buck wild, so we're going to get to those. Got a lot of text messages that we need to get to as well. 334-321-1390, and we'll start with Jones. You're on the line. Happy Monday.
Thanks for taking this call. And guys, I'm sorry, but I got to get it off my chest, and I make a lot of Auburn enemies, I'm sure, when I do. This guy needs to go. He's lame duck. If I'm a recruit, why would I sign with a guy that I know ain't going to be the coach? The guy's proven himself, Jacob. He's proven himself after 22 games of complete and utter futility. He doesn't deserve to stay at Auburn. Jimmy Rain and your buddies, they've got the money to get rid of this clown. Why should we have to put up with it for another 365 days? My wife, who's a Butler grad, can't even spell football. When she looks at the game and says, "This guy looks timid and unmotivated, but Alabama's coach looks like he wants to win." That's very telling for the average fan, right?
I'm with you on that. I've been saying that, Jones. You know this. I've been saying that all year. That I just – and not that that's the be-all, tell-all, or however you say that, but – I'm tired of watching a head coach stand on the sideline when something bad happens and just cross your arms and watch it on the replay. Where on the other sideline, you had Kalen DeBoer, who was all sorts of fired up on Saturday. Again, could he control his team? No, not 100%. But he at least wanted to be there and was fired up and did what it took to win the football game.
And let me ask you this, Uncle T-Bone. If Pat Dye were on the sidelines and he was standing there talking to Coach Freeze, wouldn't he tell him to jack these guys up with some sort of physical, at least one series, pound the hell out of the ball and maybe something good will happen and stop this stupid sophomore flag football crap with a very average to below quarterback? I mean, the bottom line is this guy's got to go because you're not going to change this guy. He has shown us how the cow eats the cabbage, and it ain't going to get no better. I'm telling you. I'm an old geezer, so I can say it. I don't send them any more money. I used to send them thousands a year. Not anymore. This program is a joke because of the guy running it. And I'm tired of it, guys.
Appreciate it, Jones. Auburn fans have had enough.
Man.
They're tired of it. Man. Lonnie and Lochapoca, what's up, Lonnie? Go ahead, Lon.
You know,
there he is.
I made some jokes over the last few days and started calling Hugh Freeze Gue Frauzon. That's actually an insult to Malzahn at this point. This guy can't hold Gus Malzahn's you-know-what. For anybody to make a call like he did when you had gotten a little bit of momentum back, and I don't care whether he was the one that personally made it or not, it had to go through him. He could have chopped that off at its knees before it got into the, you know, on the field. The point is, we had a little bit of momentum back. If you score there or even kick a field goal, you're down by 10 or 7 at that point. To come out of this is the worst part of it to me, to do that coming out of a freaking timeout on first down is absolutely unforgivable.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that the guy needs to be fired. Obviously, I don't think we can afford to fire him, frankly. But like I said 3 or 4 weeks ago, does he deserve to be fired? Could you make an argument right now that he deserves to be fired? I think you absolutely can make an argument for that easily. I hope to God he gets it turned around. I hope to God he go gets whatever quarterback he wants. But I have zero faith in this guy. I'll support the team. I'll support the university. I always do. But as far as I'm concerned, it's on to basketball. For these people who have said there's a possibility that we may get a bowl bid at 5-7 and we should not take it or whatever, yes, we should, because this team needs all the practice it can get. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks so much, Lonnie. Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. The text box is open as well. 334-784-1067. There's a couple of things in there that I want to address here, Uncle T-Bone. People that have texted in the first 30 minutes or so. This guy says, asking you, Uncle T-Bone, do you still, and this kind of goes on what Lonnie was saying just now, and to what Jones was saying, do you still think Hugh Freeze needs or deserves 4 years total? That's from Travis and Lochapoca.
I think that next year will be the tail of the tape, finally, for Hugh Freeze here at Auburn, whether Auburn will be able to move on with him or not. And that's just the world we live in, and I think that's what will happen. And it's not going to get any easier because they open up with Baylor, who's won 6 in a row and is hotter than a firecracker, and their starting quarterback will be back. They're averaging 39 points a game, and they may be the Big 12 favorite to start the season, and you got to go to Waco, and we don't even know who our quarterback's going to be. So next year will be the tail of the tape there.
334-321-1390. We head back to the phone lines. Duke, you're on the line.
Good afternoon. How are y'all doing?
Doing okay. Are you you going to call in Wednesday, Duke, and talk about Auburn and Duke?
I hadn't thought about that. That'd be a good one.
That's right. I'm just messing with you. What's on your mind?
Well, just, you know, really, the Alabama game boiled down to the same three things that have killed us all year. Red zone, not being able to score. Missed field goals. And not getting off field on third down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just been continuous. And these folks, I ain't going to say it. I don't want to be ugly. Hugh Freeze is a man. And I will tell you this. I'm going to make a guarantee right now.
Here we go.
Here on live radio, Auburn will beat Alabama here next year with Hugh Freeze. I said it. They're going to do it. we going to turn it around. You don't do it in a year or so. He's fixing to get some folks, and we fixing to see we will be back.
We shall see.
Duke.
We shall see.
Duke. Throwing down the gauntlet, throwing down the flag at midfield, saying Hugh's going to be A-OK. Shut your pie hole, haters. That's what I heard.
Appreciate the call, Duke. Good to hear from you, my friend. How about that? So had some people calling and texting that are not on the side of Hugh Freeze who have given up, said it's time to go. People who said he should be fired. They're questioning if he should be fired. They're questioning how long he should be here. And then on the other end of the spectrum, right? Now you've got somebody like Duke. And I look, there's a lot of fans that are in that category too, sure. Uncle T-Bone, that are still believing in Hugh Freeze the man, still believing in Hugh Freeze the coach, still believing in Hugh Freeze in the executive whatever, and in that role that he's in at Auburn.
Well, I mean, I believe in Hugh Freeze the man. I know he's been through his reformations in life, and everyone deserves that second chance. And I love people who have been through hell, even if it's caused by themselves and rallied – and become a better person because of it. I've got no problem with Hugh Freeze, the man. He's never been anything but nice to me the few handful of times I've met him. I think he is a good man. But right now, I'm not worried about all that. I'm worried about what I've seen on the field now for 2 years, and it's the same old, same old, same old, same old song and dance, Jacob.
Wow.
And I'm supposed to just continue to buy in and be like, yeah, it's all good, man. We got this. Don't worry about it. We're running triple reverse passes with our tailbacks who I don't even think have thrown a ball in their entire career at Auburn against Alabama in the Iron Bowl, and we got all the momentum in the world. That's going to be our – yeah, just trust us. No, I'm not. I mean, listen, I've got eyeballs. I've watched a ton of football. I've never coached any. What I've seen over the last 2 years on the field leaves a tremendous amount to be desired. And you know, you say it's going to get improved with talent. Talent should improve things a little. But everybody else going to have talent too, Jacob.
Talent doesn't win that game on Saturday. I'll make that statement. I don't think it may. It may.
Not with that game plan.
Not with that strategy, play calling, and game plan. And that's what I want to get through to people as the off. That's going to be my message all offseason. That right there, that will be my message. Talent can win you games, but they cannot win it all. You have to have a competent head coach, a competent staff, and a legitimate strategy and game plan. And if you don't, you'll never make it to the top. And Auburn's not even worried about making it to the top. Auburn's trying to crawl out of the basement, and they still have not been able to do that. We're about to get to Spectre on the phone lines. Our boy Jeff down in Enterprise texts in and says, along with all the other bad stuff, KLS only needed, he says, like 20 yards for 1,000. I don't know what his season total ended up being. Says he was close to 1,000 yards. Let's see what KLS ended up having. KLS had 981. Yeah, so he needed 19 yards, and he averaged 19
yards.
Here's
one from K-Bag to my personal line, Jacob. Uh-oh. We're losers. We are a loser today, and we've been a loser all season. Thank the good Lord it's over. 4 losing seasons in a row, 5 Iron Bowls in a row, 7 Georgia losses in a row. Actually, I think it's 8. Face the facts, we are losers. I mean, do you hear that, Board of Trustees? That's your football program. You're the ones to blame ultimately.
Clay from Montgomery says special teams coach needs to be fired. Opening kickoff, and you catch the ball at the 21 that would have been out of bounds and take the penalty. Yep. You have kicking problems all season long. A punter who digressed the entire season. Yep. It's just – and
special teams were the worst I've ever seen it at Auburn.
It may have been the worst year of special teams I've ever seen. That from a – remember the first half of the year, the fumbling problems and the muff punt problems and then the kicking problems and the punting – I mean, just – it was terrible. The worst I think I maybe have ever seen in my lifetime as well. Let's get to Spectre. What's up, my man? How are you on this Monday?
Well, not too good. Let me tell you, you know, when Peyton Thorne threw that interception – I was on my way to Toomer's, and you're probably wondering why I was on my way to Toomer's. Well, I was fixing to roll Toomer's, celebrating the fact that Peyton Thorne's gone.
Oh my God!
He won't be coaching. He won't be playing in another game.
Man,
let me tell y'all something. about the coaching staff also, not just Peyton Thorne. Peyton Thorne had his problems, but, you know, it ain't all Peyton Thorne.
No, it's not.
Last year we went, 6-7?
Mm-hmm.
And that was because of a bowl game. So, actually, we were 6-6, really. But in the losing games of last year, we scored offensively 103 points. That's not including the bowl game. Include the bowl game's 116 points in a losing cause.
Okay.
This year, in the five losses, we scored 100 points. What does that tell you about your offense? It hasn't improved from year one to year two. And all we heard this year from some of the opponents was, "Oh, we've improved. We the offense has improved. The O-line's improved." Well, it isn't showing on the scoreboard, fellas.
When you're so, right.
You know, like I said, I was on my way to Toomer's. I had second thoughts, and I said, no, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to embarrass the university. I ain't going to roll Toomer's celebrating Peyton Thorne and this, maybe this offensive coordinator gone. But
Who's the offensive coordinator?
Huh?
Who's really the offensive coordinator?
Well, if it's Hugh Freeze, we're not putting up with another Malzone. We're not going to be CEO 1 year and offensive coordinator the next year.
Right.
And if that's going to happen again, we might as well just cut our losses right now.
Well, that's a good point, Spectre. You bring up a good point, and hey, I appreciate the call. We got to get to break in just a few minutes. Good to hear from you, my friend. He brings up a good point. If this year in 2024, if this was Hugh Freeze and his offense, then, oh my God, we're in trouble. Like, if this was what Hugh Freeze had to offer as an offensive mind, the offensive guru, right? If this was his example and his display of that, then Auburn's in deep trouble. Because would a better quarterback have changed it? Yeah, a little bit. Would a better offensive line have changed it? Yeah, probably a lot. But you still have to have common sense, competence, and just a
confidence.
Confidence, yeah. And just a awareness of the situation to adapt, change, and overcome. And Auburn did not do that. And so do you see where I'm going here? If this was what Hugh Freeze had to offer, then Auburn is in trouble. Because this was bad. It was bad. To Spectre's point, to everybody that's called in and texted so far, I mean, things like this just can't happen. And the fact is, this is a true statement that I'm about to say as we go to break. Auburn on the field got worse from year one to year two with a better roster and an easier schedule. That can't happen. We'll get to our final break here in hour number one. We got more phone calls, more texts to get to. We're talking Auburn and Alabama. We'll get to some more college football as we go, but want to hear from you on the phone lines or the text box. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Wrap it up, hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines one more time in the hour, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line. Happy Monday.
Hey, War Eagle guys. Look at you coming in sick and coming to work. You're a trooper. I wish we had some offensive players like you. So I'm gonna be positive on this one. I'm not gonna be negative and think about when I played JUCO football, nothing to brag about, but how we'd start off with 20 plays, we practice them over and over and over, and every week we'd add 5 or 10 plays. You know, I wouldn't worry about the receiver plays. They wouldn't worry about the running back plays. But if we ever did a trick play, we had fun doing it. It was exciting. It was usually at the end of practice before field goal kickers, and we practice stuff. We practice scenarios. And it's like, all right, let's say the running back's just running out, or the receiver's out there just loft it, you know. Let's say they drop back and they're not fooled by it. Run it. The lack of practice, I don't want to talk about that because I'll get upset. I don't want to talk about us firing Gus, and now we have Gus Light. I don't want to talk about that. I'll get upset. I don't want to talk about the ridiculous play calls. You guys have nailed that on the head, where I sat there for 8 hours watching Georgia play awful. I'm like, oh, man, y'all are like Auburn. Y'all can't throw five-yard passes. Nothing's working. And then they end up winning that game. I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is I heard from a weird source and that we could possibly be getting Texas's quarterback. Not Arching Manning, the other one. Have y'all heard anything about that?
Viewers?
I have not. Yeah. No, I haven't heard any of these names on the being bantied around about in the portal at any position yet. It's still a little early, so.
Well, just put the ear to the train tracks.
I mean, would that not just be like getting the Calzada guy from A&M who was hurt all the time?
I hope that when I see it on TV, there seems to be a difference, but maybe.
That's fair.
I mean, we'll keep an eye on that. Doesn't Jabba dictate he would come here and his shoulder
right.
would be bumped?
Well, yeah.
And,
well, yeah, now that you said that, you just peed in my cornflakes. I appreciate
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
That's what we do here.
But no, someone said that, and I was like, oh, you're kidding me. And then he kind of ran the scenario through where, you know, Ewers got a fifth year, and they want Arch Manning, so he's got to go somewhere. I don't know.
Sounds like a hopeful rumor to me, Andy. Sounds like a hopeful rumor
like
to me.
Hey, we got 8 months to talk about this stuff, so let that one fly.
Boy.
All right, man.
That's right.
War Eagle.
Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And, yep, he's exactly right. 8 months to get all that figured out. And
how many months has it been since Auburn beat Alabama?
I mean, 5 years, 5 times 12. So there you go.
I mean, you know that Auburn has not beaten Georgia and Alabama in the same season since 2017.
That's sad.
I mean, that just sucks, man. I don't know how it's put to you.
That'll ruin your Monday right there.
We have gone in complete free fall.
And 2017 sounds like it's close.
It's not.
For myself, growing up in that time, 2017 seems like it's, oh, yeah, that's 2 or 3 years ago. No, that's seven
years ago.
That's seven years ago.
I remember it like it was yesterday, but it's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And we beat number one and number two back-to-back Georgia and Alabama, and the Board of Trustees allowed our president to negotiate one of the worst held hostage football contracts in the history of college football. And ever since he was given Gus Malzahn that massive buyout and contract and sweetheart deal, this program has been in a free-for-all, and that's on you, Board of Trustees. All of these problems are on you.
Good news is he's the OC at Florida State now, so he's not worried about Auburn at all.
He's worth that $80 million buyout, whatever.
Hour number one is in the book. Stick around. More Iron Bowl, more college football. Who knows what else? That's coming up next in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here at hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got us for another hour here on the airwaves. We got our second hour rolling on. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and listen to the podcast. You can just find the show posted as a podcast every single day on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You know what we talked about in hour one, and we're talking about it here in hour two as well. It's the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama. I do want to get some college football conversation in, though, just some basic conversation about what happened around the country this weekend. Pretty crazy to look around what college football gave us. And so we're going to get to that in hour number two as well, and a whole lot more here on the Monday edition of the show. Want to remind you, though, before we get into content, that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. And we'll come back to the Iron Bowl here in just a little bit, Uncle T-Bone. But looking around college football and what happened in the final weekend of the year, the final regular season weekend of the year, started on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, when Memphis blasting Tulane. There go the Green Wave. They're done.
Golly, they're playing good football, too.
They were. And then they let Memphis come to NOLA and do that to them, right down there at Tulane.
They wrecked them, too.
Huh?
They wrecked them, too.
Yeah. I mean, that it was a 10-point game at the end of it, but that's because Tulane scored 14 in the fourth quarter. Like,
yeah, Memphis was in control of that game the entire night.
And then you get to Friday night. You get to Friday, right? Friday, where Boise State handles business, Ole Miss handles business, Colorado handles business. And then in one of the craziest games that I've ever seen, it was awesome. It was great. Friday night, in Athens, it was freezing cold under the lights. In 8 overtimes, Georgia wins 44-42. I've got to say this, Georgia Tech, I'm sure they have already been kicking themselves and have been down on themselves and are just depressed over this result, and they should be, because they had this thing wrapped up, signed, sealed, delivered. They had this thing under the tree, Uncle T-Bone, ready to be unwrapped on Christmas Day, and somehow found a way to let it slip. I mean, they took some notes from Auburn, apparently, and just let it get away from them. And a team like Georgia and a coach like Kirby, you can't give them 8 overtimes to beat you, because eventually they're going to do it. Dogs escape 44-42.
Well, it saved Georgia's playoffs hopes outside of winning the SEC championship, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What a great job Brent Key's doing at Georgia Tech, though. I mean, I believe he's doing more with less. Outside of Hayes King, who, what a nice hit that was in the transfer portal at quarterback.
What's that like?
But, you know, the rest of that team is, they truly do have nothing but mainly 3 stars. At best, all across the board, he's a physical coach that played offensive line at Georgia Tech under George O'Leary. They're fundamentally sound for the most part, as much as you can be in college football, and they play a physical brand of football. You know, they're going to punish you running the football first and open it up with their play action and some of their other RPO. I like the guy. I like his coaching style. You can tell after the game he was tremendously upset with the outcome. He knows he let one get away. The referees did the Yellow Jackets dirty in that game, yeah, though, and that's a fact.
Yeah, they did.
That's going to have to get better. I don't like to be bashed the referee guy, but they're going to have to start doing a little bit better job across the board with college football refereeing, Jacob.
It's declining by the day. I mean, it's gotten so bad in so many sports that, again, well, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I agree with you. There's no doubt about it. And give Georgia a lot of credit for fighting back. They were down 2 scores with 5 minutes to play.
I mean, a Kirby Smart team, he learned from the best, and win, lose, or draw, they're going to coach them as hard as they can to the very last whistle, and he expects his players to play hard to the very last whistle. They continue to have dogs on that team, and now they're going to move on after an emotional victory into the SEC championship game this Saturday against Texas. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see in Atlanta, that basically being a home game, Georgia win the SEC, would you?
Well, no, I think they very well could, because speaking of Texas, the reason they're in the SEC championship game is because they went to Kyle Field, to Aggieland, and beat A&M 17-7 in a very gross game. I mean, it just had nothing, not a whole lot of flow, not a whole lot of momentum, and I think much more low scoring than we thought it was.
Yeah, no question. I like the Aggies in that game, so I had it wrong, but it was kind of a emotional I don't know, a disappointment after a very wild foot. Like, it wasn't the – I was expecting just it to be crazy in Kyle Field, especially after everything we saw on Saturday and in the rivalry games, and it was not.
No, it wasn't. But Texas gets the win. They do play Georgia in the SEC championship game. Auburn may have lost the Iron Bowl for the fifth time in a row, but Ohio State lost the game for the fourth time in a row.
That's
and
crazy.
And I loved it. I loved it. For anybody that knows me, I am not an Ohio State fan. I have them on the same rung as Alabama in my book as teams that I just am not a fan of. And I don't know what happened here. Michigan's not a bad team. I know they were a top 10 team to start. They lost everybody off that championship squad.
Yeah.
For them to go 7-5, okay. But for them to walk into the Shoe and beat a second-ranked Ohio State team for the fourth time in a row, they've beaten Ohio State now. That's embarrassing for Ryan Day. I can't even believe it. I can't believe he survived. I can't believe he was able to go get breakfast on Sunday in Columbus somewhere. He probably didn't. He probably didn't leave. Because, man, you can't do that. You have a $20 million roster, and yes, that term continues to be thrown around, and I will continue to throw it around because that's what they paid for that roster. And you lose to a 7-5 Michigan team at your house with a chance to go to the Big Ten championship game. That's bad, man. That's bad. And they're calling for his job. They're calling for Ryan Day to be fired in Columbus because he lost to Michigan again.
You know, they lost the battle, and it's going to make Ohio State people sick, and it should. But are they going to kind of win the war here? You know what I'm saying? Like, if they'd have had to go play, now they're just sitting at home waiting, and they're going to get in the college football playoff.
And they're going to host a game in the college football playoff.
Maybe, but had they lost to Oregon, you know, there's another week of practice. There's another game where someone potentially gets hurt, and there's no guarantee that they'd be any better seated with the loss again to Oregon than with the loss that they had while they sit at home.
Yeah.
It stinks, and you don't want to be in that position. I mean, theoretically, the committee could say you're out, but they're not going to.
Oh, give me
they're
a
They're going to be about, a 7-8 seed.
And they're going to host a game.
And they're going to be in Columbus, and everyone's going to forget about it. And Ryan Day's, if he takes care of business, will be fine. But
this is still a rivalry game. This is still their Iron Bowl.
I know it is, and it's terrible, and it was everything for Michigan, but it's not the end of the world for Ohio State. Had they got knocked out of the college football playoff, it would be.
Yeah, but to lose four times in a row.
If they weren't going to the college football playoff, they'd fire Ryan Day right now.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And you know, it's like Alabama. Had they lost to Auburn, that would have been the end of the world Saturday.
Yeah.
But you know what? They don't have to worry about it now.
Nope.
Ha, ha, ha. We win again. You lose, losers.
Ohio State loses to Michigan. Penn State takes care of Maryland. Notre Dame takes care of USC. How about Miami, who is going to go down with zero wins and zero losses against top 25 teams this season? Had it all rolling. They were on a roll, man. They were looking good against Syracuse on the road. And then here come the Orange. Here they come. They come storming back 42-38. Plain and simple, is Miami a playoff team?
Ooh, that's the question right there. They are.
Is Miami a playoff team?
Oh, man. There's still a lot of data to collect, but I would say no as of today. I don't think they're going to get in.
That's so crazy. A team that's been top seven all year.
I mean, I think. Well, where are my notes real quick? I think Indiana's going to get in now. Big beneficiary to what happened. I think Oregon, Ohio, and I said it, even if Ohio State loses, they're going.
Yeah, you did, and you were right.
These five teams are going in, Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. They're all going in. I think Georgia's going in now no matter what, and so is Texas. So there's seven teams. I think Tennessee's in. There's eight.
Yeah, they had to come back and beat Vanderbilt. That was a good win
for them.
They
came back and covered, too.
That was a good win.
They looked good in that game. I think Indiana gets in. There's nine.
You already said Indiana, I think.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's right. ACC champ gets in. That's nine. Big 12 champ gets in, that's 10. I think SMU's in either way, that's 11. So if they lose, Clemson would go. So I think that, well, I think SMU's in anyway. I think there's 10 teams right now plus Boise that are in.
Wow.
So get you some of that. Leaves one spot.
Get you some of that.
There's one spot up for grabs now, Jacob. It's between Miami,
South Carolina.
No, the loser of the Big 12 championship game, if it's whoever that is. If Clemson wins, I don't think Alabama's going to get in, or the last spot. I guess there's a little foreshadowing for you who I think is going to get in. South Carolina, and I said that Friday, that should be a playoff game, and it should. South Carolina should get that last spot. And Ole Miss, who's out there lingering, nobody, Lane, go away. You'll be playing against Miami in the Orange Bowl. Have fun.
Iowa State, Arizona State is the Big 12 championship game Saturday morning. Iowa State, Arizona State, both 10-2, both top 20 in the AP poll.
So, say Arizona State wins, they're automatically in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to you're going to be punishing a team for losing their conference championship that has the same record for other teams that are sitting their asses at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a heck of a discussion to have.
Yeah,
that's hard. Is. That's going to be hard for Ward Manuel in that committee to get out there and with a straight face argument and people not just go buck wild over bias. Again.
I mean, here's the problem, though. Who's going to press them? People on social media? They don't have to answer that. They don't have to answer to those people. They can do whatever they want, right?
So, but you've got five, let's see, six, seven, eight teams in for sure. Two championship teams in for sure. That's 10. That leaves two spots. Like I said, if Clemson wins, I think SMU's in anyway. So, at best right now, there's two spots up for grabs.
Is that right? So let me ask you this.
No, one, there's still one spot because Boise and whoever still lingering out there.
So if Clemson wins the ACC championship game, does that mean that South Carolina should go because they just beat them the week before?
Oh, man, yes, but they're not going to get in.
I don't think South Carolina gets in. They're not going to put South Carolina in there. There's no way.
The only way South Carolina or Alabama or a three-loss Big 12 runner-up or Ole Miss – and you got BYU out there with two losses, but they're not going to get in. And the only way they get any kind of shot of going in is if they're the biggest SMU fans on earth right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right about that.
And then you got to hope that they go ahead and just get Clemson out of the way, who's muddying up the pond.
Mm-hmm.
None of these teams would have a shot at Miami 1, by the way.
No, Miami would have that spot.
They would have
Miami losing was such a big ripple in the pond. I mean, this was a huge, huge game for them to drop. One that we said was very possible, and here they are.
Here's the deal with this too, Jacob. You want to lose early. Yeah, and early can be like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Just as long as it's not the week leading up to conference championship.
Recency
or
bias.
Or conference championship.
Recency bias.
Oh, that loss to Oklahoma, that was like 2 months ago. No, it's 2 weeks. Guys, 2 months ago. Whatever. Put them in.
I mean, same thing with Notre Dame, who lost to Northern Illinois. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That was week three. Or week two. It's fine. Nobody talk about that. Week one. Whatever that was. It's fine.
Notre Dame's playing good football right now.
Yeah, they are. They are. And, I mean, they're going to get in. They won. They won on Saturday. They should get in. I'm just saying, you start looking at conference championship games this weekend. Big 12 is Iowa State, Arizona State. Winners in, losers out. Georgia, Texas, both are in. Penn State, Oregon, both are in. And then Clemson, SMU. If SMU loses, are they in?
They should be.
Will they, though?
I would think they would
get in. If the committee has a chance to put in Alabama or a two-loss SMU, you tell me who they put in right there.
Well,
tell me who gets in that playoff.
I'm going to bet they'll put SMU in. They're not going to just have one ACC team now. Not the way SMU's playing, man. They're what are they in the AP top 25 right now? Seven?
Something like that.
You
I think
can't punish
nine
them
in the playoff rankings
with one loss, losing to Clemson in the ACC championship game. The way they've looked, they're going to the debate really is for two spots. I think the team that they're still going to try and mess around with is Indiana.
That's kind of how I feel. But everybody seems to say that they're just locked into the playoff.
I think they should be.
I think they should be too, but everybody can't see, I'm starting to have squirrely feelings about Indiana.
So you got
too.
Indiana, Miami, Alabama.
Indiana deserves to be in over Miami.
South Carolina, Ole Miss, possibly BYU, and possibly the Big 12 loser if SMU handles business. That's who's going to get the last two spots.
Here's what I would love to see, just to put the committee. I want them, let me make this clear. I want the committee to be in the worst, crappiest situation possible at the end of this thing. I want them to be so tightly knotted up and have no idea what to do. I want them to be in a bad situation because they wanted this power, they wanted the fame, they wanted the money, and so now you're going to have to go in there and make some tough decisions, and then you're going to have to own up to it. Somebody needs to make them own up to it. It won't be ESPN, but somebody needs to make them own up to it. But I want something like SMU.
No, they're in cahoots.
Oh, they're in bed together. Yeah. I want SMU to lose on Saturday. I have nothing against SMU. I think they're a good team. I think they're deserving. But I want them to lose, Clemson to be the automatic qualifier out of the ACC, and then make the committee choose SMU, Miami, or Alabama. Make them choose who gets in. That will tell us everything we need to know. If my theory this entire time, like a lot of people say, is correct, that if they have a chance to get Miami, or they have a chance to get Alabama in, they're going to make that happen.
I'll say
this. SMU losing on Saturday would put them in that predicament.
More than ever, I've seen even a team that has lost to Alabama with the same record get already a lot of pub and a lot of run in South Carolina just because they're playing so well. So I think it's going to turn out a little bit differently this year than what you suspect. But it's going to be interesting to see. You know what's going to happen, though, immediately, right, if Alabama doesn't get in?
Oh, it's rigged.
Got to expand it.
Got
to expand it, Jake.
Is this about the best teams or the qualified teams? Or what do you think Saban will say?
That's a great question. I mean, he is an employee at the University of Alabama. Must, you know, getting paid $500,000 a year by taxpayer money. It must be nice to have that type of employee over at ESPN who's in bed with the college football playoff.
334-321-1390. We'll take our first break in hour number one. Stick around. More coming up after this.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get back to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Uncle T-Bone, you must have been screaming so loud they heard you all the way down in Florida. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
Doing well, guys. I'm on vacation from work this week, so I'm doing well.
Okay, well, good. We're glad you're down there and glad you were able to tune in. What's up?
I don't think anybody's brought this up yet, but wasn't there a series that we got down to, I guess, about the half-yard line? I think Rivaldo Fairweather got us down there. Then we have like a first and goal at the, like inside the one.
Was it the first series of the where we missed the field goal?
Well,
I know we got down to the 1 yard line either on first or second and goal and did not punch it in.
Okay. I guess my point is, or my comment is, I think we got down inside the one, set up in the shotgun, and we ran. I think we ran Dark West, and we lost like 3 or 4 yards. We either ended up scoring a field goal or not scoring at all. I don't remember.
The first play in that series from the goal line was a fade pass that was open that was missed to KLS.
Okay.
The second one was the handoff to Hunter where it was just right up the middle, and he went back 3 yards.
Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Alabama have it at about the one or inside the one, and Jalen Milroe got up under center and they just bulldozed into the end zone?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So I guess what I'm getting to is, like, why Why? I can understand the fade pass, but on the next play, why are we in the shotgun and lose 3 yards when you could get up under center and just do a tush push? Get some defensive linemen in there and push a Peyton Thorne across the damn goal line.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, I'm with you. I was screaming at the television for that exact play, the tush push. But it takes it. You know, okay. Well, over at Ole Miss on short yardage situations, they have former Auburn player
J.P. Pegues.
Yeah.
And they utilize him in several ways, and lots of ways is to block. I mean, it just takes some extra practice, I guess, and game planning and figuring out a strategy down there to do it.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute. Alabama just lined up under center and bulldozed into the end zone, and we're running, you know, giving it to Jarquez 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he loses 3 yards. And I don't know. Did we score? Did we score on Steve Bone? I don't remember.
I can't remember. I think we scored a field goal in that possession.
Okay. Well. Yeah. I was screaming at the. I was just like you. I was screaming at the television when they did that. I was like, why? Tush push. Oh my God! It's all over the NFL. I know you've seen it.
Right. That's right.
Inside the 1 yard line, I could see maybe at the 3 or 4, maybe, but you're inside the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a foot and a half.
I'm with you on that. Mitch, we appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you, my friend, all the way down in Florida. Let's get to the phone lines again. Got just a minute or so. Bob and Pike Road, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an Alabama fan, just to preface that, and I think old T-Bone knows that. But
yeah, it's all good, Bob. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling, buddy. Yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah, man. Listen, the number one fear I had going into Saturday is that Auburn would give Jarquez Hunter the ball 30 times. And the fact that he only got it 13, and he's like Derrick Henry in the sense that the more you give it to him, the stronger he gets.
That's right.
I think that was a gift to Alabama.
That was your fear and our hope, and it didn't work out that way.
I don't understand that. To me, he's... Now, Auburn has some explosive football players, and, you know, the 2 or 3 receivers you got, 8, 5, and I can't remember the other one's name. But to me, the most dynamic and guaranteed NFL player is Jarquez Hunter. I mean, I don't understand it. Now, if Auburn brings in a solid quarterback, they got a couple of other running backs that are strong, too. You know, back in the offseason, I think this football team could have been in Alabama's spot trying to get in the playoff. It's that much difference. But let me say this about the playoff, and I'll get off.
Okay.
When you lose 3 football games, you don't have any standing to cry and moan if you don't get in, especially the 3 that Alabama lost now. With that being said, it'd be a crying shame for the best conference in college football to only get 3 teams in. And you can make an argument for and against Alabama, for and against Ole Miss, for and against South Carolina.
Yeah.
But to me, one of those 3 teams, I'll get that last spot. Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate that and very, very good insight on that. And
yeah, good to hear from you, Bob. Yeah. Call us anytime, man. I know who you are very well, and you're a great caller and know a lot about football. I'm with you. I think that you can make an argument for any of those teams. I think, I mean, to me, the one that kind of is the most ridiculous is Ole Miss. But listen, I've seen Ole Miss play, and when they're playing well, they can play with anybody. So, I mean, he's right. You're going to see arguments made for and to or against for everyone, but Jacob, he's also right. You can't lose 3 games and just expect to waltz in.
We'll talk more about that in Auburn and Alabama on the other side. We got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Uncle Tebow. We'll pick back up with Jacob Hillman next week from the Auburn Sports Network. So we want to continue to hear from you, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And, you know, we were talking just college football in the playoff, but I want to get back to the Iron Bowl and dive a little bit deeper into this thing because, look, Auburn showed up, and for the most part, not the entire game, but for the most part, in several statistical categories, several drives, several quarters, Auburn was right there. I mean, Auburn was right there in this game, but here are some stats that stick out to us, right? Alabama's third down efficiency, 12 of 18.
Yep.
12 of 18.
And it was better in the first half when Auburn really needed a stop.
Yeah. Total yards wasn't anything crazy. 460 or 459 to 399. So that's a lot of yards to give up, yes.
By both schools.
Yes. But points-wise, no. Right? So you're feeling okay there. The fact of the matter is, Alabama ran the ball for 203 yards. You know how many Auburn ran for?
98.
Less than 100 yards on the ground on the road. Uncle T-Bone, you're old school. What two things travel on the road?
Can I say it on air? Oh, in football.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
About that. Running the ball and not turning the ball over.
Defense is where I was going. But yes, running the football. Defense and run game, right? Those two things travel, always. You can always play good defense, and you can always run the ball.
Well, we've said it all year. When Auburn is successful in football, record-wise, its identity is one of hard-nosed, run-the-ball football, and playing defense. Bob brought up a good point. He started talking about some of the other explosive players on offense, and Auburn has them, and Cam Coleman and KLS especially. Malcolm Simmons, who's completely been underutilized this season. What a total disappointment, and what I thought he could be and should be. Why they haven't used him more like Gus Malzahn used to use Ontario McCaleb, I do not know. The tailbacks, especially Jarquez Hunter, are the real meat of that team offensively. They're everything that stirs. They're the straw that stirs the drink. Not the quarterback, not the receivers. It seems like to me offensively, Jacob, I want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
That Hugh Freeze is just constantly trying to hit a home run play with his wide receivers instead of utilizing his backs to set up in key moments good, perfect calls for an explosive play like they did in the first half against Texas A&M.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, play a little chess, right? Set yourself up two or three moves ahead.
Now, the big fear for Auburn was that Jalen Milroe would line up and pound it. But they didn't come out in that game doing that. And then just at the right moment, they hit two back-to-back run plays with him in that first half, one of them being a touchdown. And they were perfectly timed play calls with one of their playmakers. Kalen DeBoer set that up beautifully, and they executed it perfectly. Auburn did not execute explosive plays perfectly in this game. It cost them because they never tried to establish the run. Auburn players, for the most part, showed up, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'm not – but for as an overall team, I don't think they showed up. They just had some opportunities handed to them by some sloppy Alabama player plays they made on defense, and they didn't take advantage of them.
I mean, you forced four turnovers on the road. You should win that game.
When's the last time Auburn forced four turnovers on anybody? Four to Alabama especially. And if they have ever forced four turnovers to Alabama, when was the last time that they lost doing so?
Well, here's the problem, too, is Auburn turned it over twice. Remember what I said Saturday or Friday? Yeah. I said, if you don't turn the ball over, you win.
I said they could have got away with one. That second one was a backbreaker.
Yeah, it was. And we had somebody text in earlier asking about Cam Coleman, saying, why did we not do the things we did with him more, right? The hitch routes and the doubles and so many different things that Auburn did rarely. But the one time they did something different, he was wide open for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Wide open. And you found him and he scored. right? So we can yell run game all we want, but even in the pass game, it still wasn't all that. Couple of texts in the on-the-line text box. Eric says that Auburn football needs a Bruce Pearl, right? They don't grow on trees, but says we need somebody like that, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Here's what I want for any Auburn coach, especially Hugh Freeze. Do whatever you have to do to unite the totality of the fan base from top to bottom, not just the good old boys who got all the money and got all the gold and the golden rule, and they're going to do what they want because they got the gold. I want this, whoever the coach is moving forward, they're going to have to do something and make a total effort for everyone to be in agreement that they need to be the head coach and get the support they deserve.
That's so hard nowadays.
But it is so difficult. And there were just people from the very beginning that were like, don't want Freeze? No. Those people right now are proving to be prophets on the field. I don't want them to be. I don't want to go through another coaching change. Jacob, feeling like I felt yesterday and like I did Saturday night, and quite frankly, like I feel now with just almost some hopelessness, I don't like it. I lash out at that kind of stress. That whatever you hear from me is a reaction of not being scared, but I get mean when I get hopeless because it's the only thing that's going to get you through it. And it's time for Auburn to get damn mean. And let me tell you one more thing. I don't care who the coach is moving forward. If we got players talking trash pregame in the week, I'm not going to stand for it. We let DeMarcus Riddick as fans get away with that last week, and that was embarrassing. That's not Auburn, and I don't care what the culture is in football anymore. I don't care what the generational gap is. No matter what, this team needs to have sportsmanship. Now, if somebody wants to fight you on the field, fight them. I didn't have a problem with KLS and that guy fighting. They got tied up. They started fighting.
KLS is trying to get away.
Fine. But pregame, that was tacky, and we just kind of wrote it off because we didn't want to run our guy down before the game. That never needs to happen again, Hugh.
I'm glad you said that because Eric also texted in this same text, number one was the thing about Bruce Pearl. Two, he said Ryan Day stinks. And number three, he says, where do you and Uncle T come down on all the flag planting? Which I think kind of loops itself into this the same conversation that you're having right now. College football got wild this weekend. I mean, emotions were high this weekend around rivalry weekend from college football, whether it was Clemson, South Carolina, whether it was Auburn, Alabama, whether it was Georgia, Georgia Tech, if it was Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, emotions were high this weekend. Several flag planting incidents. You had fights. You had dudes get pepper sprayed in the Michigan game.
Yeah.
I mean, two football players got pepper sprayed.
It's embarrassing.
By police. I mean, this type of stuff should not be happening. You had Texas A&M get nasty at the end of it. I think Sark handled it better than any coach in the country this weekend.
Pulled his team off the field.
Yeah. After they went and were stomping and kicking their feet on the A&M logo.
That.
I hate that crap, man.
Listen, here's some things that need to stop in college football. Rushing the field, that's a ticking time bomb for someone to get assassinated. I'm serious. Stop it. That is just a ticking time bomb. That needs to stop. It's not cool anymore. Stop it. Planting of flags, the trash talking and the jawing. The TikTok videos in the locker room and basically making a first down and jumping up and acting like you're Cam Newton or making a tackle and hovering over somebody like you're some kind of – like you're Apollo Creed knocking somebody out. Stop it and grow up.
Yeah, it was just such a weird weekend where, again, emotions were high and everybody seemed very high-strung and I don't know. So, yeah,
you said it has been a high-strung season for a lot of people. I guess it's a new normal because there's so many teams doing their dangdest to get into a college football playoff, and they have to have it. But it was out of control. I'm not trying to be get off my lawn guy. This isn't go home, Boomer. You look like morons, and sportsmanship should be generational. And I don't know, when you got coaches like Brian Harsin, though, acting like they do off the clock, what do we expect? To have players that have no respect.
Are we using him as an example, though? Are we using him as somebody we should model our lives around? I mean, The Harsons.
I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, when you got it, it, to me, it starts at the top. And if I were a head coach, I don't care if I ran players off or not. If you trash talk, oh baby, you ain't gonna like practice. And if you can't handle that, you see that door? Take the train.
Mm.
And there's not enough of that anymore because everyone's so afraid that their players are going to leave, and we got to be good buddies with them, and we got to coddle them because Georgia might pay them $100,000 to come over there, Uncle T. You can't discipline anybody anymore. I would rather lay down the law. The next person that comes in like Nick Saban and lays down the law on somebody is going to be the next person that has the possibility of having a dynasty.
And what's crazy is we thought that could be Kirby. Right, who won back-to-back national championships, but yet he can't control his dudes off the field. Right, he's not that guy. We thought he was, and he still could be.
I'll say this: I thought he was pretty classy after the Georgia Tech game.
He's going very, very much
and,
so.
And I got a lot of respect
very
for
much
him.
So. Consoling.
It's way harder to control people off the field because you can't be. I mean,
you think
Kirby Smart's going to be with them at 12:30 at night?
Right.
But
there has to be a standard, though.
Why did somebody, and I'm going to, you know, this is a little biased, but I think that Devontae Smith for Alabama's a thug, and I'm going to say it. And why someone didn't go over there and grab him by the face mask and escort him to the locker room and say, you're not going to act like that here at Alabama? I would have.
I mean, there was a lot of that. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why this season, like, there were more fights this weekend in college football than I've seen in years combined. I mean, yes, it's rivalry weekend, and what's crazy, too, is we've been talking, and so many people have been talking, and Christian Griffin and I were having this conversation this weekend about, like, oh, you know, nowadays, the Iron Bowl doesn't mean as much to the players. The game doesn't mean as much to the players. And Clemson, South Carolina, or Texas A&M, or what, these deep-rooted rivalries don't mean as much to the players because they come from all over, right? These rosters are not made up of majority Alabama state players. They're made up of Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, California, Ohio, Florida. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's players from all over the place, so the thought process is the rivalry doesn't mean as much, but, man, you wouldn't know that by watching football this past Saturday.
I don't think
Saturday.
It's about the brand. I don't think it's about the
You
brand.
Think it's selfish? You mm-hmm. think it's,
I
it's
think
all
Everything
it's all
has
in,
gotten
internal?
So personal. Everything in life has gotten so personal. Just look at our politics, right? I mean, people, I've got their family members out there that won't even talk to each other because of who they voted for. It's ridiculous. Everything, it's like if you bring up one thing that's critical about anybody, and even we catch it on this show.
Sure.
You say, well, I don't know why we threw the ball right there. What are we doing offensively? Why do you want Hugh Freeze fired? You know, it's like, no, that's not what I said. Everything has gotten so personal and on a personal level, and it's almost like people have forgotten that you're part of something bigger. Act like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where I am with it. And, you know, I'm sorry.
There's a lot of entitlement.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really, you know, there are some cultural differences now, I think, in generations that have come before. The trash talk, especially, did you see what the Alabama player said in the article on AL.com about the trash talk? They were asked about after the game. What they thought about it pregame. They said they were laughing.
Jeez.
I mean, how embarrassing is that for DeMarcus Riddick? I'm sorry. I love that kid, and I'm glad he's here. But buddy, don't do that. That's not what we do around here. That's not Auburn.
And
that's not going to work. And then not back it up.
Well, then get beat on a touchdown.
Sure did. Got and tried to say the guy wasn't fast. We outran you.
I mean,
there needs to be a long conversation about a lot of things at a lot of programs this season. But since we're here in Auburn, I think it needs to start with the self-evaluation of the offensive staff. And they need to look in the mirror and get real. And then secondly, it needs to be with a lot of these players that you're not going to act like that here again or you're gone. And we don't care if you go over there or not.
We'll take our final break here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Got a phone call we'll get to as we wrap it up here on the other side on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll handle all the business on the way out. Let's get to Dak before we end the show. What's up, my man? You're on the line.
Hey, guys, man. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing all right, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Man, I'm sorry I got in late on listening, but so somebody may have already asked you these questions. But T-Bone, man, what was the offensive game plan? Has he said? Has he even mentioned it at all?
There's no presser today. So
yeah,
no.
I tried to listen best I could after the game. I felt like it was a little delayed him getting in there with his comments. So, at that time, everything got a little hazy. So I can't really remember what he said about it.
Yeah, I don't know what the offensive game plan was. I really don't. Most of the time, you could figure it out, but I. You know, it looked like we went back to the first 3 weeks.
Yes.
With the play calling.
Agreed.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why we didn't run the football more. I don't understand why we didn't throw the ball downfield more on one-on-one down the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
They was giving us that away from the trip side, and we never did it but the one time and where we scored.
And it worked. Yeah.
It worked, you know. I just feel like, you know, you got to throw up some 50-50 balls at times, and we just don't do that. We don't give our athletes the chance to be playmakers.
The offense is scared, Dak. They play scared. They don't take chances. You run the ball once and it gets stopped, they go completely away from it. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't.
T-Bone, you want me to tell you on where I lost my mind on the opening kickoff? Do you know what I'm about to say?
Yeah, that's just pathetic.
How in the world you play 12 games and they pooch kick to us to the sideline and you catch the ball running out of bounds on the 20-yard line? The special teams have been atrocious all year, and it started off that way in the Iron Bowl. I about lost my mind.
Well, speaking of special teams, I officially lost my mind Saturday when we missed that first field goal. And you're right, I've never seen poor special teams at Auburn, and I've been watching them since 1982. It's been absolutely pathetic, and I can't believe that a change hasn't already been made.
Absolutely, and the other thing is how vanilla we are on all special teams.
Mm-hmm.
We do nothing but basic stuff. And we have not changed it at all. Not one game. It's been the same stuff. And, guys, I don't know if you've ever gone back and just thought about all the Iron Bowls in the past. And I'm going to say this, and people probably think I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, when you have kickers that can't kick field goals, especially I'm talking about 40 yards in. I'm not talking about no 50-yard field goals. You lose the Iron Bowl every time. Whether you're Alabama or Auburn, you go back and look. If you can't kick 35-yard field goals, you're going to lose those ball games.
I think you're probably right. I think you're absolutely right. Just look at the history of that game. I mean, how many times it's come down to a few field goals here and there on both sides, really.
On both sides. Let me ask you a question since I got you here. It's just been painfully nagging me for quite some time. Is this a tough program?
It shouldn't be. It should not be, man. Guys, this is the first Iron Bowl where I thought that the talent level was as close as it's been in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Now, I know our offensive line don't match up to theirs, but everywhere else, it's the closest it's been in I can't tell you how long. And we stunk it up.
Well, that's why I said earlier, more talent probably doesn't win that game for Auburn because the game plan was so bad.
I agree with that. I do. And look, I'm not one of these that's – and I haven't all year. Peyton Thorne is not at fault. He is not at fault for really – you know, everybody wants to throw him on the bus for the whole thing, which is farthest from the truth. But I do want to say this. On the first two drives, he could have thrown it to Jarquez, and he would have got 12, 15 yards every time. Go back. I broke it down today. On that first drive, if he throws it to him three times, first three plays, he gets 15 yards every time.
Yeah, they just left him open. Mm-mm. So, Dak, anyway, appreciate the call, brother. It's always good to hear from you, my man. Thank you so much.
It doesn't feel like the check downs or even the, you know, almost West Coast just move the chains type offense is in this repertoire of Hugh Freeze's offense.
Never in my life did I ever think I'd be begging Auburn to throw a screen pass. Never in my life did I ever think I would be begging Auburn to throw a basic pass, a basic run play. We went from Gus Malzahn doing the same four plays over and over to Hugh Freeze, who we can't even get him to do the same play over and over. We've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other.
We just don't really attack the edge very well or the flats, and it bothers me.
We don't attack the end zone. We don't attack the field. We're great between the 20s.
Yeah.
But my goodness, we hit the 20-yard line, and it's just like,
you got Cam Coleman, and you're not throwing at least 4 to 5 50-50 balls to him, especially in the red zone.
I'm telling you.
That's what's killed me. They've been throwing to Robert Lewis in the red zone. They throw to KLS in the red zone. But, you know, they don't ever seem to get a good matchup for him down there. Maybe defenses are taking that away. Well, if they are, then somebody else is going to need to make a play. But when I asked Dak about whether this team's tough or not, it's just I don't think that this is a tough, hard-nosed football program.
Yeah,
I
don't think you understood
what
you're
saying. And that's our identity. We're not hard. We're soft. And that's why we continue to have stats like K-Bag hit me up, you've lost to Alabama 5 years in a row. You've lost to Georgia 8 times in a row. Well, I bring out that in the last 20 years we've only beaten Alabama and Georgia from 2004 to 2024 in the same season 4 or 5 times. That's pathetic.
Better
than that. We're a better football program than that.
Overall
we are. Until Auburn will establish itself as a hard-nosed football team again, no matter what type of offense they're running, the same madness is going to continue, and that's all I got to say about it.
That's it for the Monday edition of On the Line. I'm back tomorrow. Christian Griffin will be joining me in the studio. We'll talk more Iron Bowl, more college football, playoff rankings, basketball. There's a whole lot to get to on the show tomorrow. That's 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. God, I hope I'm feeling better by then. I'll be in regardless, though. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.